You're listening to the Visionary Life Podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Riedel. Each week, I'll bring you conversations with the most visionary humans on this earth in hopes that you'll be able to absorb their wisdom, avoid their failures, and feel less alone on the roller coaster ride that is entrepreneurship. This season, I'll be chatting with creative thinkers, masterful marketers, brick and mortar shop owners, brand builders, and people just like you who have a story to share or a vision that inspires. If I can share one quick secret with you before we get into the episode, it's that we all have a little bit of visionary inside of us. You know, that spark that nudges us to pursue our full potential in this lifetime. But perhaps somewhere along the line, it got covered up. I'm here to tell you that it's never too late to explore that inner voice and access the brilliance deep down inside of you. It's in you, it's in all of us. Let's dive in. Hey, visionaries, welcome back to the show. This is going to be just a short catch-up episode. I'm feeling excited and inspired, and I really wanted to get on the mic and just say hello. So if you're looking for more of a how-to episode, we've got hundreds of those. If you're looking for an interview with one of Canada's top entrepreneurs, we've sat down with Brian Scudamore from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. We've sat down with Peter Neal, founder of Neal Brothers. We've sat down with Layla Kashavji, founder of Happy Pop. Here I'm like flexing, like, this is how cool my guests have been. And we do have tons more upcoming interviews. But for now, while I'm on my maternity leave, or what I'm calling my maternity experience, because I am still working because I want to and because I'm sleeping well and I just absolutely love what I do, I just wanted to jump on and do a quick little solo episode. So at the time of recording this, it is Sunday, March 17th at 11:17. I feel like there's some angel numbers in there. I'm looking 17:17. And oh my gosh, how times have changed. Just thinking about the fact that if we were to rewind, I'm already laughing, 15 years or 20 years, I don't know, I would have been in university and St. Patty's Day would have been the reason we would get up and get drunk. Like, we did pancake keggers. So we'd get up, put on our green t-shirts and our Mardi Gras beads, or like those weird necklaces you get at the dollar store. And you'd put on one of those necklaces with like a shot glass on it and maybe put some clover stickers on your body. And then we would head into our neighbor's backyard. I'm thinking of specifically of the house I lived in university. I went to a university in London, Ontario, and our neighbors were a house full of guys and they had a kegger every St. Patty's Day. So yeah, we would like get all dressed up. And by 11:17, we would have already eaten our pancakes and probably been like well into the beers by this point. Maybe dropping like little green food dye in our beer. Oh my gosh. And this St. Patty's Day, I'm like excited that I got a good coffee from the market. Speaking of this St. Patty's Day. So I woke up this morning and Dave and I had kind of a slow morning. We slept in a bit. Freddie slept in, which was amazing. And then as I was putting Freddie down, I thought, oh, you know what? Why don't I put him in his front carrier where he loves to just like sleep on my chest. And I thought, I'm just going to get out and take him to the market. And I didn't really have any plan to get out in the morning. And I thought, oh, we'll just have a quiet morning at home. But I got one of those pings from the universe. Do you guys ever get that? And it was like, yeah, get out of the house. The sun is shining. And I just felt this pull to go walk to the coffee shop. And I live in a town where we have a really vibrant market. And it's just like 30 steps away from me. So anyways, I strap Freddie in the carrier and I'm about to get my dog on her leash, Abby. And then all of a sudden I get this other ping and it's like, no, just leave Abby at home and go sit inside the market. So I do that. I leave Abby even though she is begging me for a walk. And this girl is so lucky. We get her out on an off-leash hike in these trails where she runs wild every single day. So she's very spoiled. So when she doesn't get a hike in every day, she's like, what the heck, guys? You broke routine. Anyways, that's totally aside from the point. We can talk about my spoiled dog another day and how much exercise she gets. But I swear it's keeping her young. And at 9 years old, she is still so healthy. We've never spent a penny on her health, which is wild. And I think like we bought, rescued her from Team Dog Rescue for $400. That was just to cover her food with her foster family and her initial veterinarian visit. And I think after that, we've spent about $0 on her. So yeah, I'll just wrap that one up by saying that mutts are like magical dogs, I swear. Anyways, where I'm going with this, I left Abby at home and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go sit in the market. So I walk over with Freddie, I end up grabbing a coffee, and then go figure, right as I'm there, my friend Jordan, who I think Jordan listens to the pod and so does his wife Kate, so shout out to you guys, he walks in and he's there with his son about to grab a coffee and a cookie. So I'm like, oh, let's just go sit down and chat. So that was kind of like the answer to my ping. I was like, oh yeah, I didn't bring Abby to the market because I knew I was going to bump into someone here and probably end up sitting down and just chatting. And then, of course, as Jordan and I are sitting there, we see our friend Hillary and her son Steven. So we invite them into the market. And I just love living in a town where you don't have to actively make social plans all the time, but you're always bumping into your people. We're very lucky here. We have a group of 10 to 12 really amazing friends, and all of our friends have kids between the ages of 0 and 5. So we just have this strong community of people that you're always running into, because in the town I live in, there's only 2 coffee shops. There's 1 main bakery that we all shop at. There's 1 main butcher that we all shop at, and a couple of restaurants. So if you're going out, or if you're going to, you know, grab yourself a scone or a cookie, it's likely that you're going to bump into your friends. Or if you go to the brewery, which is kind of like the main restaurant, you're definitely going to see your friends sitting down, having dinner, having a beer, and you can go join them. Like, it's just that kind of place, which is such a reminder to consciously choose where you live. And something that Dave and I always felt really passionate about was that we don't have to be born and die in the same town. I don't know if that makes sense, but like when we were choosing to move out of Toronto, so we weren't born in Toronto. We were born in a town about an hour outside of Toronto. I was from Kitchener. He was from Waterloo. And they're kind of like mid-sized towns of about 300,000 people. And, or I don't even know, maybe it's grown in population since I left, but I haven't lived there for 20 years. So we moved to Toronto, lived in the big city, loved it. But when we were choosing to leave Toronto and kind of find our next chapter of life, we really thought about where we wanted to be. And one of the main priorities was to try somewhere new and to make sure that we weren't just defaulting to the place we grew up. Because oftentimes we, I think, just leave our living situation to chance and assume that we're not able to break outside of the place we grew up, when in reality, choosing a home base, I believe, is one of the most important decisions of your life. Like finding a town that reflects your values, your vision for your life, finding a town where you can meet people who are at a similar life stage. And for us, having community that you can walk to, there is something about not getting in your car on weekends that is the most blissful thing to me. The fact that we can walk to get our coffee, walk to get our groceries, walk to go to our friend's house because we all live within a 1 kilometer radius of each other. It just feels very special. And this is probably not the life for everybody, but for us, it definitely checks all of our boxes in terms of how we want to live. And that was really a conscious decision when we moved here. We knew that this town that we moved to, it was sandwiched between 2 rivers. And for us, water sports are something we love to do. We knew that there was amazing rail trails and biking here. And we just had a feeling that we'd be able to build a life here. But we were also open to the fact that if it doesn't work out, we won't be afraid to sell our house and move somewhere else to try a different life. So anyways, maybe this is just a reminder to always question, like, is this the best situation for us? And if not, what would it look like to make a change and to never feel like your life is unchangeable, if that's even a word, right? And I always think about that. So going back to one of the reasons I actually started my business 8 years ago in consulting and coaching was because I remember meeting a friend at a coffee shop in Toronto, and she was working a job. We were about, 25 years old at the time, 24 years old. And she was like, yeah, I just don't see how I could ever make a change with my career. And she was so unhappy working as a teacher at the time. And she was going on and ranting to me and saying, I really want to build my fitness training business, but I guess this is just the way it'll always be. Like, I went to teacher's college. I have a job now right out of school. And looking back on that, I'm like, oh my God, we were 24. She has actually gone on to make this change. But at the time, I remember listening to her and feeling so much heaviness. Like, you are 24 years old and you feel like you can't make a change because it's quote unquote too late. And I honestly think that goes for any age, like for people who are in their 30s saying it's too late, for people in their 40s saying it's too late. Ask yourself, is it really? Have I put these imaginary constraints on myself? And if so, why? Why? Right? Like, we only get one life. And I am honestly always reminded of that because of my mom's death 2.5 years ago. She lived life to the fullest. One day she was golfing. The next day she was on life support. We literally don't know what tomorrow brings. And so to sit around and say, I'm unhappy, I don't like where I live, I don't like the life I've created, I don't like the job I'm in, I'm unhappy with my health, I want to start working out, but I just, you know, don't have time. And to put things off for a later day, to save all your money for retirement, to wait to live out your passions or to try pickleball or to, you know, make new friends, to wait until later, to me, it makes no sense. The reason why I started the whole Visionary Life brand is to show people that you don't have to live according to anyone else's trajectory. You don't have to follow in your parents' footsteps if it's not for you. You don't have to stay as a lawyer or stay working as an accountant if it's not bringing you joy. Of course, can you just quit and not make money and put your family at risk? Definitely not. But is there a way to do it safely? You know, when I left my corporate marketing job, I picked up 3 freelance gigs to make sure that I was still earning money. I still needed to meet my basic needs, right? So there's a way to start moving towards the life you actually dream of, but you can do that while mitigating risk. And I do feel very passionately about that. So I think it's important every once in a while to just audit your life. Like, you don't need to go through any formal exercise. I'm sure most people are familiar with the wheel of life exercise, where you kind of write down on a wheel or like a little pie, spirituality, health, relationships, career, home, finances, and just like all the different buckets of life. And then you kind of rate where you're at on a scale of 1 to 10. And I always say, I learned this from Tim Ferriss, avoid the number 7. So if you're rating your health, you would rate it, like, if you're doing really well with your health and you're feeling awesome, rate it a 10. Awesome. If you are rating your relationships with your family and you want to rate it a 7, ask yourself, okay, no 7s allowed. Would I rate this a 6? Or an 8, because an 8 means, yeah, you're probably doing pretty good with your relationships with your family. A 6 means, yeah, you might have a little bit of work to do. And then you go to your career and you rate that a 2. And then you go to your fitness and you rate that a 1. So then once you get through all of these different pillars of life, you look at where am I rating the lowest right now? And you start by problem solving for your two or three lowest categories. So you might then look at health or fitness. If it's rated at a two, you might say, what are three things that I can do today in order to advance this bucket of life? So maybe it's that I go do 10 push-ups right now. Maybe it's that I drive to a gym and ask them for a free tour. And maybe that it's I text my friend Sarah and say, hey, I know you're super into biking. Can you tell me more about the Learn to Ride program at the local bike club, right? Like there's always something you can do to top up that bucket, and then you can put some long-term goals in place. And what's really cool is I actually do this with my clients as well. I have them, when they onboard with me as a one-to-one client, we always go through some sort of wheel of life exercise, just because I find it so valuable to just see when you're becoming an entrepreneur, what are the areas where you're feeling very strong and where we can double down and just get the ball rolling, and what are the areas that need improvement or are pretty poor right now. So I'll ask people, like, how are you on organizing your thoughts and ideas? Do you have a system in place or not? How are you on being disciplined? Do you do what you say you'll do? Are you good at follow through? How willing are you to play the long game? And some people read that question and they're like, I kind of want overnight success. And I'm like, okay, well, we need a reframe, because this might take 3 months, 6 months, 10 months. I ask them things like, how comfortable are you getting visible, right? Because visibility is scary. And most people, when they start a business, they have to challenge themselves to get more visible than ever before. Most of my clients come to me and say, I'm terrified to tell my friends and family. I'm terrified to host a local workshop because of the judgment I'm worried about facing from the people who know me best. So it's important that I, as their marketing coach, know that. I'll ask them, what's your level of belief in yourself? What's your level of belief in your business idea? And all of these are ranked on a scale of 1 to 10, not allowed to use the number 7. I'll ask them, what is your level of self-confidence? How excited are you for the payoff of your hard work? How are your marketing skills? How is your ability to navigate technology? And as their coach, I'm able to immediately see what are the areas that we can work on right away? What are some simple improvements we can make? And I think that it's so important to self-audit. And after you self-audit, to actually find people who can support you in improving, I guess I want to say. Anyways, if you're feeling like any area of your life is needing a little bit of a shakeup, a little bit of an improvement, I highly recommend just doing the simple scale of 1 to 10 and just seeing where you're at. Hey, visionary, I want to interrupt this episode to share a little bit more about one-on-one coaching. I work with clients who want to stay on top of the latest marketing trends, who want to bring more ease into their marketing funnel, or just build a marketing funnel in the first place, because maybe you don't have one yet, and ultimately take the effort and overwhelm out of your marketing plan. I know your energy is limited and you just want someone to tell you what to do. Should you be on Threads? Should you be creating on TikTok? How do you grow an email list? What does SEO mean anyways? This is why I offer private one-on-one business and marketing coaching for business owners like you who need help with their marketing strategy. You can head to kelseyreidel.com/private coaching to learn exactly what it's going to look like if we decide to work together. And I'm excited because I can give you the precise strategies that will take your business to the next level this year. So if you want to learn more, kelseyreidel.com/private coaching. Of course, it is a bit more of an investment than any of my other courses or offerings, but my private clients are seeing crazy results. Christina landed a 6-figure consulting contract. Emily signed 6 clients in one day. Barb had a Black Friday sale that generated a lot of money. And these are all based on the strategies that we've implemented. So KelseyReidel.com/private coaching. You can learn all about it. You can see all of the amazing visionary businesses that I've worked with and supported over the last decade. And I can't wait to see your application come through. KelseyReidel.com/private coaching. Now back to the episode. All right, let's shift gears a little bit here. First off, I'm putting out a call to action that I need a new TV show to watch. I'm not a big TV watcher, but I also like to have a show on the go that I can just tap into. And I either like really trashy real estate shows, so things like Selling Sunset, which is really funny because normally like my brain wants to learn and I like nonfiction books like biographies and I like to read business literature and success stories. And during the day, I'm always listening to marketing podcasts. You guys, by 8 p.m., I am like, put on Selling Sunsets. I want to see Chrishell have drama with Jason. I want to know who Bree is getting in a catfight with. Like, I'm all over it, okay? Or maybe The Bachelor. Like, that's my jam as well. I stopped watching it for about a decade. And then in the past few years, I decided, okay, if I'm going to do a long spin workout, I might as well gift myself with the ability to watch some trash TV. So I would put on The Bachelor as I did my spin classes. So I'm currently watching the new season of The Bachelor. So if you have a show that's kind of in that vein, let me know. But otherwise, I want to recommend the show Full Swing. So it's a golf documentary and it documents the PGA Tour and the LIV Golf Tour. And I think it's episode 3. They just did a whole episode about how vital a golfer's mindset is in their game. Like, they can be skill-wise the best in the world, but golf is such a mental game. So episode 3 really chronicles the story of a bunch of the players, starting with sports psychologists and performance coaches and mindset coaches, because if you can't get your head right in the game, you're not going to be successful. And it really is just a reminder that you can have all the how-to and the templates and the step-by-step processes in starting a business, for example. But if you don't have the right mindset for this, if you're constantly wavering back and forth between like, I'm a piece of shit, and then the next day you're like, no, I can do this. But then the next day you're like, oh my God, I'm never going to be as good as Tiger Woods, or I'm never going to be as successful as Oprah, or whatever it is, you're actually missing half the battle. And I think we need to give more airtime to the power of your mental game in all that you do. And I mean, we've heard this expression for years and years. Like, when you put your mind to something, or put your mind to it, or get your head in the game. And I think these are all alluding to the fact that you can be really talented skills-wise or strengths-wise, but if your head's not in the game, good luck. Like, you're not going to be successful. So, of course, I look at this from a business perspective, but I love watching Full Swing and seeing how these golfers, some of who are very resistant to hire a performance coach. One of the guys in particular is like, this is bogus, like a mental performance coach. Who do you think I am? Why would I need that? And, you know, I actually learned this lesson the hard way too, because I created a course, as many of you guys know, about 6 years ago called The Visionary Method. It was the business blueprint for you to go from generating $0 from your online business to $50,000 in revenue. And I was teaching this course for years and years and years, and I kept noticing that a lot of my students seemed to be blocking their own success. And I could never quite figure out, like, what is it that is preventing this person from succeeding? Hey, visionaries, I want to quickly interrupt this episode to talk about masterminds and why they are so powerful. So let me start with a quick story. I used to have such a scarce mindset around investing in my business. I thought that spending money on courses or professional development or retreats, I thought that was an expense against my business. And yes, technically it is, but when you really look at it, it's an investment in the growth of your business. And something that I'm super proud of is that I now have a dedicated budget, and I recommend this to all my clients too. For me, it's about 10 to 20% of my take-home profits that I am allowed and willing, and I am giving myself permission to invest in personal growth, professional development, joining masterminds, going to conferences, taking courses. So this means that if my business was earning, say, $100,000 a year, I would invest $10,000 to $20,000 into professional development. I know that sounds like a lot. For example, today my business earns $250,000. So this year I am looking to spend a little over $30,000 in things like going to retreats or joining masterminds or becoming part of professional networks where I know the uplevel is imminent. So this is why you've seen me go to places like Park City, Utah, and spend 7 days with high-level entrepreneurs just dreaming and thinking, because I had the budget set aside and I thought, you know what? I need to get in the room with people who can see beyond my current limitations. This is why I recently purchased a course on Google Ads, and I wanted to up-level my knowledge and how I could support my clients even better in this area of digital marketing. And each year I also choose one mastermind to invest in. So I just invested well over five figures into joining a 3-month mastermind. And the reason I tell you all of this is because I truly see a trend that those business owners who are willing to reinvest, join groups, and not be afraid to get in the room with new people every single month or at least every single year, those business owners who are afraid to do so, their businesses stall. They feel lonely. They stagnate in their ideation, and they're constantly trying to do everything themselves rather than finding a group of people who can support them and help them rise up much more quickly. So this is where masterminds come in. One of my favorite quotes is from Napoleon Hill. He says, "Mastermind groups multiply the mental powers of all participants." So 1 + 1 does not equal 2 in these groups. And I could go on and on, but basically what I'm trying to say is business masterminds are the perfect way to uplevel your business. So if you don't already know, my co-facilitator Emily and I launched Wave, the mastermind, about 12 months ago, and we are so excited to be rolling out fresh new programming. We have brand new content coming at you, guest speakers like Stu McLaren, who is a membership expert. We have someone who's talked to us about how to become predictably lucky. We talk about business finances. We talk about how to make sales fun and easeful. There is so much juice coming up, and I don't want you to miss out. So if you're a driven female entrepreneur, find me on Instagram and DM me the word mastermind so that I can invite you to a free session, no strings attached. I just want you to get a vibe for what happens inside of these groups. So again, you can DM me. I'm at Kelsey Rydell on Instagram. Just send me the word mastermind and I'll send you an invite, or head to kelseyrydell.com/mastermind. You can learn all of the details, see what's going on, and you can apply for a free discovery call. So again, kelseyrydell.com/mastermind, or DM me the word mastermind on Insta. It's really hard to avoid. I need to change that setting. Anyways, all this to say that I feel like the mental game needs more airtime. This is why I'm so passionate about working with Emily Elliott. So kind of to wrap that thought, I was seeing my students block their own success. And when I started collaborating with Emily, who's a mindset coach, I realized that we could literally put people on a rocket ship to success when we partnered and did mindset coaching and marketing strategy all in one. And there's not many people on the internet, or there's not many programs that are available that combine both, that combine the mindset work with the marketing work. And it's just, incredible. So the students who go through our programs and who are in our masterminds are generally having like massive, massive success, major breakthroughs, because when you pair strategy with success tools, holy crap, you guys, it is like next level. So anyways, feeling very passionate. And if you are ever curious what it looks like to be part of our mastermind or our group programs, I have all of that on my website and you can go dig in over there. Hey mama, if you are looking for a space to balance CEO level ambition with joyful motherhood, I want you to go to thewavemama.com, thewavemama.com, because us ambitious mamas need to stick together. So again, if you want a space for balancing CEO level ambition, whether you're a high performing corporate gal or you run your own business as a female entrepreneur, but you also want to embrace the joys and the beauty of motherhood and this messy space that we're all navigating as mama entrepreneurs, I want you to go to thewavemama.com, get on the wait list because I am launching something really special and I don't want you to miss it. Thewavemama.com. Switching gears a little bit, I do want to quickly share about a journey that I am on. So as many of you know, I've been talking about rebuilding my pelvic floor post having a baby. And I knew that I needed to sit down and watch YouTube videos and learn how to do a Kegel and probably put in daily work in order to not pee when I laugh and when I cry and when I sneeze and when I go on hikes and when I am standing on the spin bike. And for January, I kind of gave myself a break and I was like, yeah, I'll get around to it. February, I started moving through the month and I'm like, you know, this is really hard. Like, I know what I need to do. I had a friend that sent me a PDF and she sent me the guidebooks at her physio center, but I still wasn't prioritizing it. And I realized that if I was going to get on this journey and rebuild my pelvic physio or rebuild my pelvic floor, I was going to need to hire help. I was going to need to pay someone. I was going to need to invest. And I knew exactly who I wanted to invest my money with because I had done a class in September, October, November, and December called Fitness with Fetus. Shout out to Crystal from Fitness Reset here in Brantford. And I knew that she offered postpartum support. She does classes for fitness with baby, and she also does a mama reset and a body reset. And she had posted this video. This is a good testament to the power of Instagram, because I was scrolling Instagram and she had this video where she's walking into the gym wearing colored tights. Like they were like red or blue or something. And her caption basically said, "That moment you can start wearing colored tights to the gym again." And I was like, oh my God, that is so relatable, because I had been living in black pants for fear that when I pee, at least if you're wearing black, you can't see. So of course, if I'm going to work out, I'm wearing black. There would be no way, not that I'm going to the gym, because we have a gym just in our garage here, which is where I've been working out. But if I was going to go to a fitness class or yoga class right now, or even just like go out with girlfriends where I knew I was going to laugh my head off, I would not be caught dead wearing pink tights, because if I dribbled, it would show. So anyways, she posts this video. It's extremely relatable. It caught my attention and I immediately reached out and I was like, Crystal, I think I need to hire you. Like, even though this program is almost $1,000, I see so much value in it because it's about having an accountability partner, having someone who's going to lay it out. And I know that if I am paying someone, there is no freaking way I'm going to not do the work. Do you know what I mean? And it really humbled me because it put me back in the shoes of my clients. So I take on about 2 one-on-one marketing coaching clients every single month. And a lot of them are earlier in business, or they're really starting to get visible and they need to do a bit more on the marketing side of their business. And so I'll often tell them, okay, we're going to send a weekly email newsletter. I want you to write a monthly blog post that's optimized for SEO. I want you to make sure you're reaching out to 2 strategic partners per week, or here, I'm going to link you with someone and I want you to book a coffee date with them. And sometimes they show up to the next call and they're like, Kels, like, that was hard, or I didn't do it, or yeah, I started the blog, but I didn't finish it. And I'm on a journey with my health right now, rebuilding my pelvic physio floor, or I don't know why I always get that mixed up, my pelvic floor. And here I am resisting the work. And if you've ever read The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, it's exactly on this topic. When we are doing something new, embarking on a unique journey that we've never been on before, we're stepping foot into a new business idea, or maybe you're starting a Pilates journey, or perhaps you're just beginning your healthy eating lifestyle, it's gonna be hard. You're gonna fall off the wagon. I'm not gonna lie, I skipped 2 days of doing my pelvic floor physio this week. I knew I had to do it, but we got to like 9 p.m. and I had not done it yet. And I was mad at myself, so mad at myself that I'm like, I am not missing another day. Like, this is the work, Kels, right? If I want results, if I want to show up to my 4-hour mountain bike race on June 8th, which is like 3 months away, and not be dribbling and not feel like my bladder prolapse is holding me back, I'm going to need to do the work and not just do it once, right? Not just write one blog post or do one Kegel and expect that it's healed. I'm going to have to show up nearly every day from now until June 8th. And if you want to build a multi six-figure business, for example, you're going to have to show up nearly every day from now until you're ready to have the business stop growing, right? And this is just a reminder that we have to be in it for the long game. If you have a goal right now and maybe you just fell off the wagon the last day or week or month, you can always get back on. You can always recommit to the little things every day. And just as another example of this, my husband has always been active, but he's never been regular with working out, like doing strength training on his own at the gym. He's always playing golf though, he's biking, he's playing hockey, so a lot of team sports, a lot of just general activity through the day, but he had a goal to build his strength for the past couple of years. And he would kind of like come into a phase of momentum with working out and then just stop for a few months and then back into a phase of momentum and then stop. And that just wasn't really, he wasn't feeling that good about himself, I guess. And he's like, I just don't get it. Like, I can't stick to this routine. It's really tough. However, the last month or two, he's decided that he just wants to work out every day, even if it's only a 10-minute workout, right? Like, it could be as short as 10 or 20 minutes, but it has to be minimum 5 times a week. So dropping the barriers to the goal, instead of feeling like you have to get to the gym, do a 45-minute workout, what if you could just do a little pocket workout, 10 minutes, hit the garage. It literally is not going to take more than 10 minutes in your day because the gym is in your house or in your garage. You just go there, do the work, and leave. And to make it even easier, I am the biggest fan of the Peloton app, so he has my login for it, so he's been loving doing Adrian's class. So he picks an Adrian class, puts it on, whether it's upper body, lower body, core, and he's found the easiest way to squeeze in a workout every day. He's loving it. He wants to come home from work and get his workout in, so he's kind of looked for all of the ways that his workouts in the past few years were causing friction. And we just problem solved around that, or he did, not me. So if you're facing resistance to something, it's important to ask yourself, what barriers have I put in place? Is it a mindset barrier? Is it actually a physical barrier? For me, with my pelvic floor physio, it's literally just a time barrier. Like, I feel like I have so much I want to do in the day, but I have to remind myself this is a priority, because you always have time for your priorities. And in my situation, it's a priority because I'm signed up for a race in 3 months and I can visualize myself showing up to that start line and being so proud that the Kelsey of the past 3 months worked on all of her little exercises to rebuild. So I don't know if there's something in there that is a reminder to you that it's important to play the long game. You don't need to feel like if you fall off the wagon for a day that it's gone completely. Take it from me. I hired my coaches and then like day two and three, I fell off the bandwagon. I was so mad, so mad. But I decided to pick myself back up and here I am on a weekend. I don't have necessarily a workout prescribed to me from my coach this weekend, but I'm catching up on the one that I was supposed to do on Wednesday. So, all right, you guys, I feel like this has been the most random of all random episodes. But I hope there's some good reminders in here for you. And as always, if you want to check my website for ways we can work together, I am taking on one-on-one clients once again now that I am back from maternity leave a couple days a week. So if you want to slide into my DMs on Instagram or just apply, the application is at kelseyreidel.com. And if you are a female entrepreneur and you are looking for other women to network with, to form strategic partnerships with, and to feel less alone and be supported and held accountable to your goals, we're going to help you to 2x, 5x, or 10x your business inside this mastermind. So if you head to kelseyreidel.com/mastermind, the Wave crew is ready for you. We are so excited about this upcoming rebrand. We're going to be doing so many fun things in April and just cannot wait to welcome a few more badass female entrepreneurs to the community. And I think that's it, guys. So you know when I need to stop talking is when the mom brain really kicks in. Have an amazing, amazing day whenever you're listening to this. And I will catch you guys over on Instagram, or if you're not already on my newsletter, kelseyreidel.com/newsletter. And I will see you soon. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Visionary Life. I love bringing you these conversations on a weekly basis, so it would mean so much to me if you could help me out by rating and reviewing the show on either iTunes or Spotify. It just takes a second. And if you don't want to rate the show, you could also just take a screenshot of the episode and share it on your social media platform of choice, tagging me at Kelsey Reidel. I'll catch you in the next episode.